his death, but it's not really entailed about the Lord's Supper. Sometimes we choose to go that route, but tonight the Lord led us a different way. Title of tonight's message is... You think it was loud for you. You should have heard what it was up here. So, so Matthew chapter 26 tonight. Title of tonight's message is what to do when you consider quitting, or what to do when you're thinking about quitting, or what to do when you get tired and want to quit. Whatever way you want to pick is tonight. Far too often we hear about people quitting on the Lord, quitting on doing the things they know they're supposed to. People that will give up and stop going to church, stop reading their Bibles, stop praying. They really don't think it makes a difference or helps. I think probably, if we're honest with ourselves, there's probably been a time in our lives where every one of us have just said, hey, it's not worth it. This is just too much, and I just want to quit. It's just not seeing the Lord, hearing from the Lord, and we just say, hey, that's enough. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual lives, and maybe you might be interested in throwing in the towel. Maybe you've been hit over the head with so many different things that you seem like you're overwhelmed. And these are some things. I'm going to give you five things to consider why you shouldn't quit. And if you consider these five things, I can almost guarantee if you do it with a heart to seek after God and a heart to want to do what's right, you're not going to want to quit. But we do come in times when there's trials and struggles in our lives, and I know there's different forms of quitting. I know there's, you know, quitting on a ministry or quitting at a church or quitting on the Lord altogether. And I do know that the Lord moves us to different spots and different ministries, and the Lord gives us different stages of our lives where we can serve in certain areas and that sometimes we can't serve in other areas because of different things that have happened. I'm talking about just quitting when you know that you're supposed to keep on going. So tonight, what to do when you consider quitting. And the first thing I think we need to consider is we need to consider the cross. We consider the cross. Here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, the Bible says, and he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, here, when we consider the cross, John 19:17 puts it this way, he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. You know, when we consider quitting, all we need to do is really go to the cross. Because at the cross, we actually see every conceivable reason why a Christian might want to give up, clearly refuted as we look at the life of Jesus Christ. Every single reason, most reasons at least, dealt with under or near the cross or getting close to the cross. And anytime you really consider wanting to give up, or anytime you would want to consider just quitting, anytime you want to say that this Christian life isn't worth living, all you need to do is go back and survey the wondrous cross. We see the sacrifice in the cross. We see the love of God in the cross. And this should give us the courage to just keep on going on and keep on moving. There's some things here I want to bring out and help us understand. Some people might say, hey, I'm going to quit because I'm not getting my way. God's not answering my prayers the way I think he should. I'm just going to quit. And all we need to do is go to the garden and hear him say, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And we see that reason. We see Christ answer that. It was not the exact way that he would have wanted it done. He was asking. He wasn't trying to get out of it. He was just saying, if there was any other way. And here, we must remember that we should not quit just because it does not seem like we're not getting our way. Because, you know what? There's a greater purpose in our life than us getting our way. Another reason why people feel like they need to quit is because they feel like they've been betrayed. They feel like they've been betrayed. All you have to do is go to the cross and look what it says in verse 49 of this chapter. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. All of us know that that's Judas there. And if you say, hey, look, I need to quit because you know what? I feel like no one likes me. Everyone has betrayed me. Everyone has stabbed me in the back. All you have to do is get near to the cross and see what Jesus Christ went through and see that Jesus Christ went through the exact same thing. One of his closest betrayed him. Think about those who spoke lies about him at his trial. They made up lies about him. You say, well, I'm going to quit because you know what? Someone's telling untruths about me. All you have to do is get near the cross. If you feel like quitting sometimes, get near to the cross and you see that it's God has given every conceivable reason. Let Jesus go through every reason to answer our quitting and say, you know what? He loved us to the end. And he continued on. And that's why I like it when it said in verse number 39, he says, he went a little farther. He continued on. Some people say, you know what? I feel underappreciated. And I'm going to quit on God because nobody appreciates it. No one sees what I do. No one sees me cleaning. No one sees me singing. No one tells me how much they appreciate and love the ministering that I'm doing. You know what? There are people who quit because of that. There are people who say that no one's taking notice and they're serving for the wrong reasons. But I don't know who was more underappreciated in the Bible than Jesus Christ. You know, he went unto his own received him not. He went and he healed so many of these family members and so many of these people. And he had the message of the life of how to have eternal life. And he extended this. He went through all these things. And think about it. Those that ate the bread and ate the fish the next day, they walked away because the message got a little too tough. You know, if you feel like you're underappreciated, all you have to do is go to the cross. Look what it says in chapter 27, verse 35. In 27:35 it says, and they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Sometimes we don't appreciate what and who Jesus Christ should be to us. So if you ever thinking about quitting, if you ever thinking about throwing in the towel, just get near the cross. Not only these reasons, but we also see that some people quit. And I've heard this story before. It's because someone was rude to them. Someone maybe said something bad about them. Someone didn't shake their hand. Maybe someone wasn't as kind as they thought they should have been. Maybe someone was having a bad day and they didn't do things the right way. And here, Jesus Christ was treated wrongly. Look what it says in Matthew 27. You get close to the cross, you see Christ hanging on the cross. In verses 41 through 44, it says, likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. It wasn't enough that they had taken and given a false trial and they were abusing this man and had him whipped and he was nailed to the cross. It says that they sat there and they watched him die. They sat there and they mocked him. If we feel like quitting sometimes just because someone's been a little bit rude to us or because someone hasn't treated us the way we think they should, all we need to do is get near the cross. And look what it says here is that they were sitting there and they mocked him. He says in verse 42, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. They're questioning his motives. I tell you that sometimes people give up and say, I'm quitting because no one really thinks I'm doing what's right. Keep on going. Verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will save him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. That even the two thieves that were up there, they began mocking him. And sometimes we do feel like quitting. Sometimes when things are not going our way, the devil gets really good at coming alongside us and say, you know what? No one appreciates you. You know what? So-and-so said these things about you and they were completely untrue. And they were, no one says, these people were, they don't like you there. They're rude to you. And you know what? Sometimes we just got to say, I'm going to keep on serving. All I have to do is get near the cross. And as I look at the cross and as I survey the wondrous cross and see all that Christ did for us, it answers all our reasons why we should quit. Yes, there are going to be people that the devil uses, and sometimes they're not even knowing that the devil is using them to be rude or underappreciate or just seem like they're trying to make it where you don't get your way. That's not what church is about. We've come here to meet with God. We come here to hear from God. We come here to listen from God. And I know when we put activities into it, when we have teen activities, when we have senior luncheons, and we have outside activities, all those things that we try to have an active church to try to meet the needs of the different people at our church. You know, sometimes people get involved and sometimes people get into the point where they think this is my ministry or this is that my ministry and I'm going to do it this way or I'm going to do it this way. And we get all worked up and we miss out the most important person. We came here to worship Jesus Christ. And when we see that cross, everything else should put us to shame. I mean, all we need to do is go back to the cross. So next time when you feel discouraged, and it will come, there will be times when somebody is rude to you. There will be times when you take something maybe the wrong way. There will be times when the pastor doesn't appreciate all the things you did or someone else doesn't appreciate it. There will be times and opportunities where you're going to feel like quitting. And I'm encouraging the first thing you do is you go consider the cross. And the Bible says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord carried this cross, an age-old symbol of redemption, outside the city of Jerusalem up to a raised piece of a rocky earth called Golgotha. And, you know, that should be enough. As we consider the cross, I don't think anybody can honestly look at the cross and say, I'm going to quit. How can you give up when you think about Calvary? How do you turn your back when you think about what Jesus did? No Christian will ever give serious consideration to signing a letter of resignation from God's service if he would just remember the Savior on Mount Calvary. And I heard a story one time of a Christian man that was from the Philippines, told of an experience on the day that some would call Good Friday. He noticed a crowd around a certain church. Not only worshipers, but vendors were there outside the church. They were selling incense and candles, veils, rosaries had gathered. Mingling among the crowd, boys were trying to get people to come to their vendor. They start yelling out, get your cheap crosses here. And this man, he took the meeting beyond its original intent. They were just saying that their representation of the cross was cheaper than anybody else's. But after seeing all this paparazzi or all these vendors and all these people trying to make religion about money, he said this: some people like an easy religion, one that is all sweetness and that makes no demands upon their interests or claims upon their time or strength. To them, the cross actually came in a cheap manner. But if you will keep your eye and your heart on the truth that heaven paid a major price on earth so people could be born again, then you understand why you can't quit. You understand that there is no reason why we should quit because of what Jesus Christ, the Bible says in John, and I love this, in John 13, the night he instituted the Lord's Supper, that verse number one says he loved him till the end. And that's what we need to do. We need to serve him to the end. So I know it is easy sometimes, and sometimes we want to throw in a towel, say, preacher, as a pastor, do you feel like doing that sometimes? The devil tempts me with that all the time. And I'm thankful that the Lord has helped me. And anytime I get discouraged, and anytime I struggle or I feel like it's just not worth it, I go to the cross and say, you know, Lord, you thought I was worth it. And Lord, I believe serving you is worth it too. Four more things, and these other four will not take as long. The second thing is consider the commission. Not only do we consider the Calvary or consider the cross, we consider the commission. He said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, before the Lord ascended up into heaven, he purposely gave the 11 disciples their lifelong responsibility, the task of world evangelism. So how can we consider quitting? How can we consider throwing in the towel when there's people that are going to hell? Anyway, when you think about throwing in, when we say, is it really worth it to teach these kids? Is it really worth it to run a van? Is it really worth it to be faithful to church? Is it really worth it to try to mentor somebody that keeps on closing the door? Is it really worth it to go knock on the door when you know that they really don't want you to be there? Is it really worth it? And the truth is, if you get discouraged and want to quit, just remember, God's given us a commission. It wasn't a suggestion. He's given us a commission. A commandment. And this commission was for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. How can we quit when we're trying to take people to heaven? How can we quit and turn aside when we're trying to get out the good news of the gospel? Quitting and keeping the Great Commission are impossible to match together. They simply do not go together. And tonight when we think about throwing in the towel, we gotta remember the commission that God's given us. Consider that. Consider the work that we have. Now, we might have great things that we are trying to accomplish in this world, but what greater task is there given to man than to keep people's souls out of eternal hell? Aren't you thankful the person that told you about Jesus Christ didn't quit? Aren't you thankful that whoever it was that maybe knocked on your door, or that Sunday school teacher, or that preacher, or whoever it was, that you were saved under their ministry, aren't you thankful they didn't throw in the towel the week earlier and say, I'm done. It's not worth it. I'm underappreciated. No one cares. Someone treated me rudely. I just can't do it. The third thing, not only is it consider the cross and consider the commission, but this one's one I like, and you know I talk about it a lot. It's consider the next generation, or the coming generation, if you want to keep up with the C's. Consider the coming generation. Go ahead and take your Bible to Judges chapter number 2. Judges chapter number 2. I know you've looked at this passage of Scripture, but this is something that I just can't get out of my heart and out of my thoughts. And then when we consider what's going on with the next generation, you know what? I want to strengthen those things that remain. And it would be easier in this world to just cave in and do what the rest of the world is doing. But I think what we have is a responsibility to leave to the next generation what someone has left to us. We are a keeper of the tradition that we have received from our heritage of Christianity. And if we consider the heritage we have as Baptists, the things that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation, the faith that was given to us, we want to pass along to the next generation. And here in Judges chapter number 2, some of the saddest verses in the Bible. Let's look in verse number 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timoth-Dunder Timoth-Ophahir's in the Mount Ephraim in the north side of the hill of Gaash. And now here's the verse. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now whose generation? Joshua's generation. And it says, and there arose another generation after them, it says, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Balaam. I don't know about you, but that generation that was with Joshua, they were known for great things. And just a few generations later, this passage of Scripture is written about them. And they said that they knew not the Lord, and they knew not, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And one of the things that I try to make it important to our church and try to make it important to my ministry is that we leave something for the next generation. We leave what we've heard. The old time gospel, the preaching that we find in the Word of God and staying true to the Bible. See, I want to leave to the next generation the same Bible. I want to leave to the generation the same principles because I believe they are truth and I believe God doesn't change his minds. And I think we should continue on preaching the same type of way and do the same type of singing and have the same type of outreaches as the generation before us did or the generation before that did. I think the Apostle Paul could walk into our church service and understand what is going on. He might not understand when we might use a screen or with loudspeakers or different other things, but he sees the worshiping of God through song. He hears the worshiping of God through the giving and through the preaching of the Word of God. And this is what we got to get to. What are we leaving to that next generation? I mean, I am so worried when I see on TV the craziness of this generations. When we see their spring week tirades, and we see the things that are going on in Missouri, all those young people who are even looting stores just because they think someone was treated wrongly, that they have rights and they have their ability, that they should just go out and do whatever they want to. I'm worried about that generation to come, and I think we all are. But you know what we can do is we can raise our generations. We can tell our young people, our children, about the truth. We can give them what was given to us. We can leave a tradition. We can leave the Bible, leave the Word of God to them, show them that in our lives God has worked. See, let God work and demonstrate in our lives. And when we consider quitting, we can consider that coming generation. I can't quit. I can't give in because who's going to tell the next generation? And if we don't leave it for the next generation, who's going to tell the generation after that? Who's going to tell our grandchildren? Who's going to tell our great-grandchildren? Churches like ours are becoming fewer and fewer. And there's going to come a day where a church like ours is not going to be put up with. But we want to leave this to the next generation because it was left to us. I'm thankful for the people that stood in the line and just faithfully served and passed it down time after time after time without having to change, without having to give into the world, without having to ask the world into the church. I'm thankful, and I'm not ashamed of the fact that this is what we want to leave to the next generation. It does sadden me that we don't have more young people and young adults. And I'd like to see more. We need to reach out to more young adults because we need to teach that generation. I'm thankful for the teens that we have here. I'm thankful for the kids that we have here. But we need to reach out because there was a generation gap there that maybe we didn't leave what was left to us. And we need to work on that. You know, Psalm 78, verse 4 says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." You know, this is what we need to show. We need to allow God to work in our lives, allow him to make a difference in our lives so we can show the generation to come the praises of the Lord. We don't need to show the generation to come us quitting. We don't need to show the generation to come us fighting. We don't need to show the generation to come us living lackadaisical, unspirit-filled, weak Christian lives. We need to show them the praises of the Lord so God can do a work in us so they can see that God is real to us. What are we leaving for that coming generation? Psalm 78:6 continues, "That the generation to come might know them, even the generation which shall be born, who should arise and declare them to their children." That if it's real to us and we declare to them and it becomes real to them, then they can declare it to the next generation. And here's the thing, that they might set their hope in God. So often our hopes are in our finances. So often our hopes are in our abilities. So often our hopes is in our country. But you know what? We need to put our hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. If we do not pass it to the next generation, then who will pass it on? You say, "Well, Pastor, there's other churches in our area that's like ours." I know that, and I'm thankful for them. But we must consider the next generation or the coming generation. How can we quit when we consider the next generation? Point four is kind of goes along with point number three, but I think it's worthwhile to have its own spot. But you can say, well, it sounds like the same thing, but here's consider the casualties. Pastor, the casualties. Yeah, consider the casualties. When you're thinking about quitting, when you're thinking about throwing in the towel, consider the casualties. Consider who's going to be hurt by it. The word casualty means an accident or accident that produces an unnatural death. You say, what type of casualties happen if we leave God and we quit on God? What type of casualty is left behind? Well, we don't like to think about our decisions influencing others, but they do. What we do influences those that are around us, those that watch, those that we impact. You know, if we were there and we were serving and we were making a difference and we throw in the towel and we quit, and how about those other people that we made a difference on? They come back and say, "Well, where's so-and-so?" Don't know where they're at. We were on visitation. We were passing out flyers, and we're thankful for all those that passed out flyers with us for Kids Crusade. We went to one neighborhood, and we got a lot of kids from that neighborhood, and the kids were well-behaved and was blessed. Had a great week at Kids Crusade. I was there, and we were passing out the things, and a little girl, and she still looked young, but she was like 20 years old. I asked her if she was like in the eighth grade now, because I remember her when she was tiny. I says, "Are you in the eighth grade?" She's like, "I'm 20. I have a child now." I was like, "Well, you look really, really young." And they did. And you know what? She was there, and she asked me, she said, "Pastor, is, you know, how is," and then she said that her former Sunday school teacher. And I said to her, "I'm not really sure. I haven't talked to her for a while." She says, "You mean she's not at the church?" And I says, "No, she doesn't go to our church anymore." And she said, "Why?" And I couldn't really answer for the girl. And I'm not saying this the Sunday school teacher has thrown in the towel. I'm not saying that at all. But that little girl had attached this ministry with that person, and when they said that there's something that person didn't come to church here anymore, she was like, "Why not? Why did they leave?" And you know, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but what I'm trying to say here is we need to make sure before we throw in the towel that we're doing what is right. Before you walk away from a ministry, and I know sometimes because of certain circumstances that there are times when you have to shift gears and have to change to other ministries, but I'm talking about those that just are giving in because it's easy to do. They're not getting their way. And you do influence those. And I know we'll use the example of Lot. Think about the casualty of Lot's family. Lot was blessed by God because he was near Abraham, because Abraham was near God. And they had this little fight between the herdsmen, and we learned already that, you know, Lot was weak in his devotions. Because Lot was weak in his devotions, he had worldly desires, and because he had worldly desires, he made wrong decisions. And Lot, because he chose to stop serving the Lord, and he went over to Sodom, what happens? There's casualties. His wife. And that's why I didn't say the coming generation, because there's casualties when you walk away from God, or when you stop serving, when you stop learning, when you stop loving, when you stop praying. There are going to be casualties, because this could hurt your mate, or this could hurt your children. Think about what happened to Lot. Lot's children, gone, some of them in the fire, destroyed. Because when Lot went and knocked on the door and said, "Hey, God is going to burn this place up." And he says, "What God are you talking about?" And then his wife, he loved Sodom so much, she turned around and became a pillar of salt. It's a casualty because Lot chose not to serve God anymore. And then when we know the unnatural relationships that he had with his daughters, and we know that there was casualties there, and those casualties went on to know future generations that caused problems for Israel because of the sin. And why? Because Lot chose not to serve God. And it all began because Lot had a weak devotion. And we need to be careful. We need to consider the casualties. We need to say, you know what, I'm not going to quit. And keep it up. Now, I know people that are in the ministry. I know people in the ministry that have sometimes stopped or given up. And I meet their children. I meet their grandchildren. They want nothing to do with Christianity. They want nothing to do with churches. Because what they saw, what their parents went through, and their parents gave it up. Be careful. If you ever consider quitting, consider the cross. Consider the commission. Consider the coming generations. But also, consider the casualties that will be involved. Last but not least, let's consider the commendation. Not the condemnation, but the commendation. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm talking about someday we're going to stand before God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." What the Bible is telling us here, it says that someday we will stand before God. I know what? I don't want to stand before God quitting. I don't want to go up to him and see him, remember what he did on the cross, and be in heaven and standing at the Bema seat and say, "Lord, I'm sorry I threw in the towel." I'm looking forward to the day where the Lord hopefully will say unto me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, not only will the cross or the commission or the coming generations or the casualties keep us from quitting, the commendations. The Bible teaches us that we can have rewards. After the rapture, Christians is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll have the amount and the quality and the motive of their service examined. This is not to determine whether or not they are a Christian or not. It's not an appraisal of one's salvation. If you're unsaved, you're not going to be at this judgment. It's an assessment of one's service. You don't get to this judgment seat to find out whether you're saved or unsaved. This is because how you served after you were saved. See, at the Bema seat, the Bible tells us that there'll be rewards. There'll be crowns. And we're not going to take time to look at all these crowns that will happen or could happen. But crowns will be presented to believers who have earned them. And I think about it, you know, God is just, God is fair. If we haven't earned them, we will not receive them. The Bible says in 2 John 8, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." See, if a Christian who has served the Lord faithfully for many years throws in the towel toward the end and the rapture takes place, they're not going to receive the full reward. You know what? I don't know if there's a more sufficient reason to stay faithful than that someday we're going to look at our Savior in the face. I don't know what excuse that I could tell him, "Lord, this is the reason why I quit. And this is the reason why I gave up." Help us not to be willing to quit. Help us to just continue on. We're getting ready to observe the Lord's Supper. And as I mentioned earlier, I love it. And John 13, 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." You know, he loved us until the end. Shouldn't we serve him until the end? And let's be honest. There are times when we feel like quitting. There are times when we get hurt. There are times when we feel underappreciated. There are times when things doesn't seem to be going our way. There are times when Satan is good at what he does and convinces us that it's time to give up on God. But you know what? If you consider the cross, I don't see how we can give up. If you consider the commission and that people are dying and going to hell, I don't see how we can give up. If you consider the coming generations and what we're thankful for those who left us, that our Christianity and our biblical faith and our Christian and Baptist heritage, I don't think we're going to give up. I think that if we consider the casualties of how we influence others, and if we change, that influence is going to harm others, I don't think we'll give up. But if we consider the commendation, the fact that someday Jesus could look at us and say, "Well done, thou good, faithful servant." Boy, I don't know. All those reasons are good. And I'm hoping that I have something to give back to the Lord with a crown and casting at his feet. But, you know, just to hear that he was pleased with what I did, that'd be reason enough not to give up. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know why the Lord spoke to my heart about bringing this tonight. But as we think of this and consider, maybe you're thinking about giving up something. And I know that there are people, very few of us would say, "I'm done. I'm going to turn right, walk away from God, never going back to church." It's usually a slow progression. But we do know people who have turned their back on church, and they used to be faithful and said, "It didn't work out, didn't come out the way I thought it should," and left, never to darken the church door again. But many times it begins with little things. Let's not be weak in our devotions. Let's make sure we're reading our Bible, praying, memorizing Scripture. Let's be strong in our devotions, so that way we will not be worldly in our desires and make wrong decisions. Because that's when we usually give up, is when we haven't been close to God. Consider these things. The cross, consider the commission, consider the coming generation, consider the casualties, and consider the commendation. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.